I do want to make this quick announcement. I'm going to have Joshua make sure that this is on the YouTube so I can get it to a wider audience besides our Wednesday night. And I will be mentioning it over the next couple weeks. I just want you to be mindful the next few weeks into the next month or so. Be mindful of your preparations. Be prayerful. Be prayed up. Use wisdom. Use discernment. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He may tell you not to go certain places. And go ahead and work again on your preparation, things that you need to do. Nothing in panic at all by faith. Nothing by fear as well. But I wanted to make that announcement. Like I said, I will be making it for the next couple weeks just to keep you aware. Things may seem all calm and good where you are at, but for others it may not be so. And as well as just be mindful of travel plans and those different things, okay? A lot of things are in the air, if you will, of what's coming down in our nation. And I just want you to be protected and provided for. How's that? In Jesus' name. All right. Father, thank you again for the Holy Ghost and the presence. We thank you for the anointing. I thank you for just leading us into all truth. Jesus, you are the truth and the way and the life. And I just thank you for this teaching and this opportunity that we can discover the roadmap of what's before us so we're ready, Lord, for what's coming. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, so Revelation Road. We've been riding down this road and getting to the place of the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we're headed. And we're going to take all kinds of sightseeing tours. We're going to go all over the place concerning the end times. But we've been talking the last time we got together. I believe this is part three. Is that right? Something like that. And it's going to get to the point where I'm not even going to know what parts we're in, because we're going to be just going so far and so deep into this truth. But we are talking about the pre-tribulation secret rapture. And I want to continue that thought. So I'll recap a little bit last time when we got together. Remember that the pre-tribulation rapture, secret rapture, I like to call it a theory and a doctrine, is actually a new type of doctrine. In other words, I shared with you how that John Nelson Darby in 1830 had brought that to prominence through a prophecy of a young girl at a prophecy conference, a 15-year-old girl by the last name of McDonald, and how that Morgan Edwards had written a short essay about it in 1744. And then Scofield Bibles began to make it just like wildfire all over America and around the world, but literally in the American seminaries, you know, the cemeteries where theologians go to learn. And so in those seminaries, they became indoctrinated with doctrine of the secret pre-tribulation rapture. And again, if you go back into history, and I challenge anybody to do it, it's all there, that the majority of all church fathers believed in tribulation. They believed in what Jesus literally said, and very few had written in a possible way to make you wonder if it was a type of pre-trib thing, but it was no real strength to it. And again, that's subject to interpretation. So if you're in a court of law and you had evidence brought before you, you have to go with overwhelming evidence. And so that's where it's at. And I'm going to show that by the time we get done with this particular portion of teaching, at least on the pre-tribulation part of it, it's going to be overwhelming. And that's what I do. That's what I do as a teacher, because I don't want you to walk away going, well, I wonder, you know, this square almost fit in that round hole. No, you're going to see it fit perfectly, because it has to, or it can't be proper doctrine. If it doesn't fit line upon line, precept upon precept, that it cannot be doctrine that you preach and live by. Your guessing and my guessing and all that doesn't work, and a lot of teachers do that. We're not going to do that. Okay, so that was the beginning of that. We talked about the ideal of where it came from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm not going to go into that, because I want to go back to that when I teach tonight. But we talked about harpazo. You could pronounce it different ways. are H-A-R-P-A-Z-O, which means that it's comes from the Latin word. They pull rapture out of that. And did you write some of that down? You did. See, I don't have to have my big board up here because she was writing it down. That is awesome. Thank you. Caught up. That's what it means. To seize or carry off by force. To seize on the claim for oneself. To carry away. And again, when I teach that point, I look at that word and I say, wow, that's pretty violent. That's pretty violent for just wanting to, you know, take me out of the world. If somebody's going to come, there's a difference between somebody picking me up at the mall and a van pulling up and the door sliding and somebody grabbing me and throwing me inside. Don't you think it's a little different? When I read that, I look at the word and I say, that's a little rough. There's a reason for that. And so we got into that. We got into the fact that it has to do with what's coming down on the earth, and that when this rapture takes place, it's going to be at the point of tremendous danger. So that's all I'm going to say about it, because I can't go too far, then I give everything away, and I don't want to do that. I want to teach line upon line. Okay, so that's what it means. The first church understood that Jesus was coming back at any time. Now that's a phrase that I use because, you know, they lived under such tribulation and pressure. Remember, the word tribulation means pressure. Okay? When you think of the tribulation period, then you think of the great tribulation, you look at great pressure, or megas is actually the word in the Greek for mega pressure. And so they had a connotation, an ideal, a mindset that, hey man, things are tremendously bad. Remember this, and I was thinking about this in my time of meditation after I taught this to you. And so this is why I like going back over, because I get new information and new inspiration. You got to understand something. They didn't have the New Testament to go by. They didn't have the Apostle John's revelation. They didn't know what was coming. They could only live off what Jesus told them. And he said, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have tribulation. These are the things that are going to happen to you. And so based on that knowledge and the impartation in their hearts, many had felt, this is it. And Paul alludes to that later on, because we talk about it, how that he has to calm everybody down. So you see the buzz that was going on? There's been a buzz in every generation. Let me try that again. There's been a buzz in every generation. Something happens in Israel, boom. Everybody's like, this is it. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Whether it's 1988, 1993, 2000, what, something happens, you know, just like the recent peace things that are going on, which are not the peace treaty itself, but they're just little pieces of it. They're stepping stones to it. People get all excited. They make videos. They're hollering from the rooftops, he's coming! No, he's not. No, he's not. He can't. And I know people get really upset with me about that. He can't. We were taught all our life, oh, Jesus is coming. No, he can't. He cannot come at any time. God is a God of order. God is a God of seasons, and God is a God of creative design. And he didn't design anything to be chaotic. In fact, he made perfection out of chaos. And I don't have time to go into Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, and the whole thing about the gap theory, which is true. There was a gap. God didn't do anything. He didn't make anything in chaos, but he made everything great out of chaos. Come on, somebody. And if you don't believe that, look at your life. You were once chaotic. When you got saved, you're just a saved chaotic person. All right. So, going back to that, you know, they thought they were in tribulation. They didn't have the full revelation. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He didn't carry around a Gideon's. He was the first Gideon. I mean, he wrote it. And so he lived it and wrote it and lived it and wrote it, and it became canonized and so on and so forth. So they lived off revelation, okay? We live off revelation, but we live off the logos of God. We have the written word. And what a privilege that is. And even with this, sometimes we fall so much shorter than the early church, and they didn't have very much except inspiration. So Very interesting thing. All right, so go back to your notes, and I said there was five different things to look at. Descend. I think she has it up there. Descend, shout. This is all from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, clouds and air. I brought that out because you're going to see that later on. And if this is truly the chapter about the rapture, which we know that it is, then I got to find these things, right? So we're like Blue's Clues. Come on, anybody seen Blue's Clues? We just got a letter. I love the Blue Clues, man. I think they're trying to come back with this guy, but it's not going to be the same as the old dude. But anyways, Blue's Clues. We're like the investigators. So we're going to take evidence and we're going to follow the evidence wherever it goes. Isn't that the way you study? Absolutely. So throw all your books away. Throw your Left Behind series away. All right? So you're going to look for those things. That's what I talked to you about last time in the last teaching. So we're going to find that. What else am I going to share with you? And then 2 Peter 3:10, Jesus is not a thief. Everybody says Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. No, he's not. He's not a thief. I'm not stolen property. You're not stolen property. We have been bought with a price. We've been ransomed by his precious blood. He can freely enter into this place, into this tabernacle, into my heart, to my life. He has total access. So it does not apply concerning that. So that's all I'm going to give on tonight for last time we got together, because just too much info. In fact, that was part three. Isn't this part four? It is part four. We've been doing this for almost a month. No. Where? Oh my good. You guys are getting older. What? Wow. Because I just looked at my notes and it said part three. Somebody agreed. Yeah, we're in part three. No, we're in part four. Wow. This is amazing. I love it. I love it. Moving on. That is something else. Okay. So let me find where I wanted to go for tonight. And then we're going to get into. Wow. Part four. Okay. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because I want to go back to a specific part of that verse, verse 15. Can you do that? Let's go there real quick, and I want to look back at something. Again, this is for tonight. This is part 4, cuatro. Okay, numero cuatro. We're in number 4. Somebody says, I understand 4 better. And let's look at this thing here. Do you have that up there? Okay. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, everybody say remain, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, I want you to underline in your notes or in your Bible, remain. Remain. Because I told you last week I was going to touch on that, and I want to go a little deeper than I did last time. Listen to this. I want to give you the spelling of the word. And it is P-E-R-I-L-E-I-P-O, P-E-R-I-L-E-I-P-O, Perilepo, okay, Perilepo, one more time, P-E-R-I-L-E-I-P-O, Perilepo. Okay, and it's going to be 4035 in the Greek if you're going to go study it with your Strong's Concordance, okay? Here's what the word it means. It means to survive. To survive. To leave over or to survive. Now, in one part of this, you could say, well, what the Lord is saying here is those that, you know, are alive and remain, kind of like, you know, when you go to a funeral, they say these are the people that are still alive and, you know, their family, whatever. And you say, well, they remain. But it's a very strong word, because that word, perilepo, is where we get the word peril. Peril. P-E-R-I-L. Peril. So those who are alive and remain in what? In peril. That are remaining in and surviving. And remember, I bring you from chapter 4 to chapter 5. You have to go get all the other teachings to kind of catch all this. But I show you where in context he's talking about the catching away, but he's also bringing it into connection with the day of the Lord. Is that right? And so he mentions that word remain, but again, it's used in the strongest terms here in the Greek of being in peril. So are you starting to catch that? So what is peril? If it's a pre-tribulation rapture, what peril are you in? Now, somebody can say, well, you know, bad times and the shakings and the birth pangs and all those things. But if you put it all together, which I will, so I'm kind of playing cat and mouse here because I already know the answer and I can bring it right to you. But I want you to think, be a critical thinker. And again, unwind your mind from all the teaching we've been told. There's a reason why he said it this way, why it is used in the Greek so strongly. It's because there's great peril, there's great trouble, and there is a survival that must take place. Now, put that word together with hoparzo, put it together with a snatching away, snatching me out of the way of what? Peril. Snatching me, you, the church, and taking us in a mode of survival. You see that? So I wanted to just kind of put that in your mind and say, okay, I'm going to think about that a while. And let that just you know, meditate. And I'm telling you, go back and listen to these teachings. Go back to your notes and spend some time in this. Because I'm telling you, if you don't catch it the first time, you will catch this. You will see this. Okay, so let's move on. I just wanted to go back and touch on that a little deeper than I did last time. Let me show you a prophecy that a lot of people have never seen before that absolutely debunks the pre-tribulation rapture and also paints an awesome picture. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, they call it an oracle, which is really a prophecy. And it really refutes the pre-tribulation stance. And it hasn't been fulfilled. It can only be fulfilled in the last days, or where I can take you to later, where I show you where the rapture is. And if you hang out with me, I don't know how long it's going to take. Could take a couple months. Could take a couple days. I don't know. We'll see. A couple services, we might get there. But we're gonna get there no matter what. But go there. Isaiah chapter 26. Go to verse 16. I'm going to read it up here, so I don't have to churn real quick and just stay focused on all this. So watch this. Lord, in trouble had they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them, or chastening was upon them. Verse 17, like as a woman with child. You ever heard that before? That draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out of her pain. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have been, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall what? Live. Thy dead men shall live, and together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as a dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Where did Jesus go to do what? He went to prepare a place for you, and shut thy doors about thee, and hide thyself, as it were, for how long? A little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. And then go to verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquities. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. That's never happened in totality. Okay, so let's pull out a few things about this and let's teach from that point. This is about the last days. Okay, and if you've never seen that scripture before, it's an eye-opener, and you'll have to go back and study it. But these are the events that Isaiah describes. So here's number one. He describes it in this order. The unbelieving Jews were in travail, or are in travail, and recognize that they have misplaced their faith. Does that happen in the last days? Absolutely it does. They'll look upon the one whom they've pierced. Will Israel be in great trouble and turmoil in the last days. When I say last days, I'm talking about during tribulation. Absolutely they will. Okay? Will many wake up and realize they've done wrong? Yes. Number two, Isaiah and the other elect ones who have died arise to new life. Has that ever happened before in mass? No. It has not. Will it happen? Absolutely. When? At the last trump, at the last day. So Isaiah is speaking of that. We're not talking about somebody, you know, Lazarus being raised or dead. We're talking about the elect ones. Okay? Number three, God invites his people into his chambers to hide for a short time until the fury has passed by. What is that? That's being caught up. That's getting into his presence. Now, you're going to have to remember this scripture when I bring it all home and I show you where the rapture is and I show you where that I believe doctrinally it is correct. It all makes sense. But there is a time that we are hidden by God. We are caught up with him while his fury, his wrath, comes upon the face of the earth. Aren't you glad there's a chamber? There is a place that we can abide. I'm glad. Okay? So he's going to take me out of the peril. He's going to take me during my survival moment and bring me into that place. Number four, Messiah leaves heaven to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Has he done that in mass? No, not really. Not to where it talks about the blood be uncovered and the slain. I mean, it hasn't happened. Not in mass. God hasn't judged the earth like he's going to do in tribulation yet. But when he does, everybody's going to know. Isn't that right? Okay, so the bride will only be in the Father's house for a brief period of time while God's wrath is being satisfied upon the earth. So remember that statement. For just a very short time, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. We'll be with him when his wrath comes over the earth. Okay? So that's important. Also, some other notes to put in your writings. The Antichrist is the reason that the Jews will be in travail before the resurrection. Is that correct? Absolutely it's correct. Without having to go in the scripture, which I will later, at another teaching, yes, he persecutes them. He persecutes the one that gave birth to the man-child. Okay, we know that. Many other prophecies describe how he will betray a covenant made with them and invade the promised land. That will happen, won't it? And he will kill many and take others captive to Babylon. Isaiah 14, write that down. Isaiah 14, for instance, is a song that the Jews were to sing to taunt the fallen Antichrist after they returned from captivity under the protection of Yeshua. So there's a time when they'll praise God, they'll praise the Lord Jesus for his protection and his provision. All right? We know that the Antichrist won't repress the Jews until when? The last 3.5 years of the age, according to Isaiah 26. And the resurrection of the elect ones will be no sooner than 1260 days before the end. Okay? So that's just something I threw into your notes for now. We'll go into it more deeper when we get closer to that understanding about the rapture. So pre-tribulation theory says before tribulation. Is that right? They believe we're out of here. Jesus says after. Who do you believe? Man or Jesus? All of your books, majority of your books that are pre-trib, this is what they say. They'll get in there and they'll say, oh, it's before. You ain't got to worry about nothing, sissy. We're going out of here. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about that devil. You know, everything's going to be great. So I'm going to believe Jesus. All right? So let's break that open a little further. I'm not just going to give you opinion. I'm going to give you scripture. The pre-tribulation rapture has many challenges over the years. Here's one I want you to look at for just a second. Revelation chapter 4. I'm not going to go into the total teaching of that. But Revelation chapter 4 is a key scripture for pre-trib folks. And remember, I'm not mad at anybody, okay? So don't write me stupid letters. I'm not mad. Don't be offended. Just study the Bible, all right? Verse number one. Go ahead and throw that up if you don't mind, because I really didn't want to get into all of it, but it's just been a key verse. And it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and whoop! The first voice I heard was at the were a trumpet talking with me, who said, come up hither, right there, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. That's it right there. When I preach pre-tribulation rapture, man, I would hit that scripture and I'd say, see, John was raptured. The church was raptured. It is not the rapture. It is not. But that is their key scripture. So we're going to go ahead and blow that cow out of the water. And let's go ahead and deal with that now. Can we do that? And some of y'all remember reading in the books, and seeing Revelation 4 and saying, yeah, John really did. No, that's not what it is. All right, so let's go and let's hear what the master had to say. Go to Matthew chapter 24. All right. Tim LaHaye, he's gone. He's in it. He's got his reward. Let's go talk to the living word. So-and-so is not around anymore. They wrote books, made movies. Let's go to the living word. So Matthew chapter 24. And let me see where we're going to start out at. Is this all right? Y'all good? Now, I want you to learn this. I want you to see this. Okay. So Matthew chapter 24, it fixed the problem, okay, that the experts told us that all of a sudden Jesus... Here's the thing I want you to see. The experts told us, this is the theologians, the experts, they told us that Jesus was speaking... When he came to certain things in Matthew chapter 24, he went from speaking to the world, per se, to just the Jews. It's the truth. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about because I taught it, and I've read all the books, every book I can get my hand on. That's what they believed. They said, no, that can't be because Jesus was talking to the Jews. He was talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to you. Wait a minute. Now watch this. Let me blow that theory out of the water. Why would Jesus be talking to a group of people who don't believe in him, who don't read his Bible? You mean to tell me that the greatest bit of information we would ever need about the end times, the greatest key, Jesus decides to omit it from the Gentiles and give it just to the Jews? That's insanity. They rejected him. And he rejected them as far as their religiosity, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he went after the Gentiles. He might have been speaking to a Jewish mindset because he was talking to the disciples and talking to them about the temple. But he was talking for the whole world. Could you imagine God holding this bit of information back from us? I'd be like, thanks. You're saved, you're going to heaven, but I ain't going to tell you how you're going to get there, or when you're going to get there. You're on your own, you're not a Jew. Wow. Oh, wow. Okay, talk about racism. You talk about segregation. What's up with that, God? No, he didn't do that. And I make light of it because that's exactly what the experts told us. I'm telling you, go back and, well, don't go back and read those junky books, but, if you were to look at them, that's exactly what they said, and it held me back from understanding this. Blinders were on my eyes because I believe those guys. Be careful, all right? Jesus is speaking to disciples and knowing he's speaking to every generation to follow. That's what I have in my notes. He was speaking to every generation to follow. He starts talking to the Jews only. What is this? This is what they teach us. The same people who do not believe in him or read his Bible. So Jesus, who is truth, now gets involved in chance or hoping you can figure out the rest of the story. That's where they leave you. So then they say, no, we'll handle it for you. Here's what happens. Instead of reading what Jesus says. Is that cool? And I just had to blow that thing out of the water. So let's look at verse 15. Would you go to verse 15? Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. You got it? You got it up there too? Okay. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Go to one more verse. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Would you go over to 2 Thessalonians 2? Let's do a comparison. Let's see if Jesus is talking about the same situation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 will go probably to 1 through 4 real quick. For yourselves, brother, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain. Oh, no, it should be 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, number 2. That number 2 makes a difference. You ever go to read some and it's not like, they moved it. Oh. Okay, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord, that's better, Jesus Christ, that by our gathering together unto him, that you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, by letter, as for us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Why? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Boom. Verse 4, here it is. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God and that is worship, so that he is God, sitteth where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 are the exact same subject matter. Okay? So Jesus is talking very clearly. Obviously, he knows what he's talking about, right? But again, it was a roadblock for me for this next verse that I'm going to give to you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. I'm trying to cram a 6-foot Subway sandwich into a dinner mint. Watch this. Watch verse 22. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. How many of y'all read that 100 times? How many have you been told that that was the Jews? Yes, that's the pre-tribulational doctrine. And it was a tremendous hang-up for me. I could not get past that. I was like, whoa, gosh, they're the elect ones. You know, we're just a Gentile. I'm saved by grace. And, you know, and I could not reconcile in my mind. So let's fix that. The elect is not the Jews, but the chosen in Christ. It is the same Greek word used for choosing the disciples. You ready? Ekleketos. Ekleketos. And that's 1588 in the Greek. Electos. Electos, however you pronounce that. What does it mean? It means to be picked out and to be chosen. Is that right? It's exactly what it means. And so we were chosen by God. We are now the elect of God. It's not replacement theology by any means. It just means that we are elected and selected by God. Okay? In the same process. It's all done by being chosen by God. Number one, it means to obtain salvation through Christ. To obtain salvation through Christ. I become elect because I'm born again. You're now the election of God. Number two, Christians are called chosen or elect of God. The Messiah called us the elect as appointed by God to the most elevated office conceivable. Okay? The Messiah is called, he's called us to be elect. Number three, chose or select the best of its kind or class, excellent preeminence applied to certain individual Christians. Let's prove that in Romans 11:7. Okay, I got to lay this down because, again, if you don't catch this part, Romans chapter 11 verse 7, then again, you get caught up in that trap, and it becomes a roadblock and a blinder, as it been has it been to many of us. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election. Who? But the election hath obtained it. Who's the who else is there besides Israel? The Gentiles, the church. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Who's blinded? Israel. They're blinded to the Messiah. So we are the elect of God. So we are in that election. You all didn't know you've been elected, did you? You didn't even run for office. You're already elected. So if I go back to verse 22, then I blow that cowl out of the water. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the church, but for the elected ones, for the born again ones' sake, those days shall be shortened. Isn't that something? That changes your whole perception. Okay? So, everybody got that? I'm going to go on to the next thing, but I had to lay that out. So that point, if you're taking notes, just put a big old, you know, Sharpie over the whole election thing. That's not what it is. But again, we were led down that road by our theologians, our Hagees, and whoever else. I'm going to throw so many names out there of prophecy teachers who told us, you know, hey, whatever Jesus said from this chapter and this verse on had nothing to do with you guys. We're out of here. Woohoo! How easy that is. That is so easy. Just, yep, we're done. It's not. And it requires you to really study and just really get your mind untwisted. It really does. Okay, let's look now at verse 29. Verse 29. This is cool. Go ahead, verse 29. And I'm probably going to have you read down to 31, but don't quote me on that. Watch this. Who said this? Not Tim LaHaye. Not Hagee. Not somebody. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened? You worried about the sun going dark? You better know what's coming. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. When? After. Then shall appear the sign. Everybody say the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You want a sign? You're going to get a sign. When's the rapture? You're going to get a sign. It isn't in secret. You don't get a sign if it's secret. You don't go, woohoo, I'm over here, if you're hiding. Is that right? Come on, help me. I'm a simple-minded guy. You all theologians and scholars, and you got degrees, man. You know, I think, I'm like, if there's going to be a sign, then it can't be a secret. Because then everybody will know about it. So it's not a secret rapture. Watch this. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall read about the Son of Man coming. They shall hear about the Son of Man coming. They shall see. Well, that's not the rapture. It's the appearance of God. It's the appearing of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. I hope I have enough time. I hope y'all should spend the night. Come on, man. We'll make some coffee and hang out. This stuff is awesome. It's the coming of the Lord. Remember the catching away. If you like that word, the rapture, whatever you want to use, the snatching of the back of your hair. That event and the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, all are together. God is not a yo-yo. We don't go like this. I can't even walk the dog with a yo-yo. I got to have one of the electronic ones. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in where? Heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Circle coming. I got to get one of those. We've been looking for a board that you can ride on and it shoots onto the camera. I can't find it, but I want a circle. I wish I had a big highlighter. Be like John Madden, just over here you're going to. But, you know, I want to get ahead of myself, but I can't. This just blows my mind away because it's right there. Here's his sign. The sign of what? His appearing. The sign of his appearing. Okay? And they shall see him in the clouds. There's no secret rapture. You see him. Okay? God is not a Mason. God doesn't do things in secret. He doesn't have secret societies. He said to live your life open as an open epistle before all men. And so will the rapture be. You better believe that. You better believe that our God wants everybody to see this. Because when, watch this now. I'm getting ahead of myself so bad. But when you look at the title, the Revelation, the book of Revelation, it is not, and that King James and others call it the Revelation of John. It is not the Revelation of John. It's the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And again, it is not about God killing everybody. It's not. It's about redemption. It's about being born again. It's about salvation. It's about God showing himself strong to the nations of the earth with him finally being able to do what he wanted to do in the garden, he now gets to do. Starts over with man. It's an amazing story. And if we go further into this, we'll talk about the millennial. We'll talk about all the millennial reign and things. We'll just see what the Lord does. I like to see what he wants to do. All right. So verse 31, I read that to you already. No, I didn't. So that was the next one. Yeah, because let's read that. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a what? Where? When's that going to happen, Pastor? He said after these tribulation of these days. So, Mark, remember the trumpet? We're supposed to look for a trumpet sound. Why don't you mark that down too? Find that trumpet. Eat in Washington. And they shall... Y'all catch that later. And they shall, because that's what we were told, the great Trump, no. And they shall gather together his elect from where? Who's the elect? Not the Jews. But again, if that mindset comes in of that teaching, they say, well, see, you're talking about the Jews. He's not talking about, they're not going anywhere like that. We'll go together if they're born again. We'll go together when they look upon the one whom they've pierced. Absolutely. You name the name of Jesus, I don't care where you're from. You're going to be a part of that great getting up day. That's the truth, what the Bible says. And so now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Let's look at that. Come on, we're detectives, man. Remember, we're Blue's Clues. We're looking. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment, everybody say right now. In the twinkling of an eye, at the what? Last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31? It's the same thing. It's just Paul talking it. This is so easy to see. My youngins can get it. Young people can understand it. It's right before you. It's evidential. Again, we just need a theologian to mess us up. We just need some good old scary Christian movies about being left behind and the UN coming with the white helmets and the blue helmets and the green helmets. And, you know, you all know what I'm talking about. I used to love watching them older movies, but they're not scriptural. It doesn't happen that way. Okay, so now let's look at a very special word. And I've got... Man, I just got a few minutes. Give me 10. Can you give me 10? And I'll take 15. Watch this. Now let's look at a very special word and its meaning. I'm going to read it out so you can spell it. P-A-R-O-U-I-S-A. P-A-R-O-U-I-S-A. Parousia. 3952. 3952 in the Greek, go back and study it, parousia, P-A-R-O-U-I-S-A, parousia. It means presence. It means his appearing, okay? At the coming and the arrival, the advent of the future visible return from heaven of the Lord Jesus to raise the dead. I'm giving you the definitions. to hold the last judgment and set up formally and gloriously the kingdom of God. It means arrival. It means presence. It means official visit. I don't have time to go back, but when you go back and look at the word coming, I believe it was in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I don't know if it was verse 15 or so, but if you go at the coming of the Lord, those who are alive and remain, if you look at that, it's the same word. So his appearance and our going together in the rapture, being caught up, are the same event at the same time. So I have to find the appearance, don't I? So now add that to your list. Not only the trumpet, the shout, and the voice of the archangels and clouds and air. Now I got to find his appearance. When does he appear again? This is very simple. This is very simple. Okay? Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. Would you go there real quick? Man, I'm making Jennifer work overtime over there. Thank you guys for giving me just a few minutes. I really appreciate it. And some of the stuff I'm going to have to wait. Okay, are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. Okay. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his what? Coming. So when are we all getting together? At his coming. At his arrival, his official visit, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a secret rapture. Okay? It doesn't happen that way. And now you got to go back and tell your families, most of y'all probably need to apologize and say you're sorry for using it against them. You wait. You're just going to find my shoes here and I'm gone, man. You're right. Never mind. I was going to say something about Granny's dentures. I won't go there. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. There's going to be a lot of dentures laying around. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Would you go there real quick? And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn, the head, that in all things he might have preeminence. Okay, so he has preeminence of all. 1 Thessalonians, we won't go there, but you can read it 14 through 17. Again, the visible clouds, visible sight. Now go to Acts chapter 1, and then we're gonna finish up there, because I don't want to just shotgun it and get out of and you not get everything that you need. So again, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, preeminence. He's the first. He's the first fruits. Okay, of what? The resurrection. All right. And you, that's another little word, little key word you got to put in your notes. Resurrection, okay? Because we're going to be looking for that. All right, so go to Acts chapter 1. And let's go ahead and read. I might have you skip through, but just let's do this and I'm going to get out of here, all right? Acts chapter 1, verse 1, I'm sorry. I figured after 25 years you'd already know what I'm going to say. Nope. Not yet. Okay, the former trustees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to teach and to do until the day in which he was what? Taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Aren't you glad that they waited? Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They still didn't get it, did they? Nope, didn't get it. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath put in his power, but you shall receive power. See, he wanted to talk about that power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. All right. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was what? Taken up. and a what? Cloud. Received them out of their sight. So did they see him go in the air? Yes. And did he go in a cloud or did he go in a helicopter? Was it a jet, an airplane? What was it? A cloud. It was actually the glory of God. All right, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, wouldn't you? Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. How'd they get there? Which also said, you men of Galilee, which stand you gazing up, while you stand gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus, you ready? Which is taken up from you into heaven shall also come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Verse 12. And they returned to Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. This same Jesus is coming back the same way he went up. Case is over. I mean, it's overwhelming evidence. There is not a pre-tribulation type of rapture. There is not the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ where he plays peekaboo. He is going to come at the appointed time in the seasons of God, and he will come back just like he left. And I'm going to leave it at that for tonight. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that many were changed and challenged by the truth of your word, that they would just dig a little deeper, and that we would all become Bereans and study the word so that we're not left behind in the times. We can know where you are. We can know what to do. We don't have to worry about all these prophecies and things that are coming at us. Some things are valuable. Some things are validated, and some things are not. And help us to know the difference, and only truth can help us discern that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love you. I'll see you Sunday. Bye.